I'd like to welcome all our familiar faces to People's Rights. Thanks, everybody, for coming. There's a lot going on, as you just heard from the announcements. So we're going to be getting more involved. And in that regard, I'm going to have to be handing off projects to different people because I'm still overwhelmed trying to keep everything flowing in the same direction. So anybody that can help with any of these projects, please do volunteer and come forward and try to help us. For now, let's just start to come out of our slumber, come out of our shell a little bit, and we're going to start branching out and doing more activities out in the world, like helping Tony Roman, doing this video I was talking about of noncompliance and so forth. So everybody that gets involved, it really helps a lot. It's not often said, but about 20% of the people end up doing about 80% of the work involved with doing things like this. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that they can contribute and they can help and how much it's needed. So I'd just like to thank everybody that I haven't thanked before that's already pulling so much of the weight to make this thing happen. So, Ed, I'd like to say some appreciation for you for setting up all our speakers. I appreciate it, Ed. And Karen, I appreciate everything you do. And Kenny and Travis now is helping us with video. Charles is setting up the picnic. John has been helping with speakers and organizing all along. And, you know, all of us. And Jane Taguchi, I mean, Jane Taguchi, come on, folks. Jane, thank you so much. So we love you, Jane. So let's get on to today's topic. We're going to be talking about election integrity and issues involved with our election process. And so speaking to us today, we have Urson Russell, and Urson's going to be giving us a real education on what we can do to secure our election process and going forward, how we can make sure it's secure and continues to be fair and honest. So Urson, come on up. Appreciate it.
This up here just a little if I can. Perfect. Yep, that works. Hear me okay?
Yep.
Guys hear me all right? Very good. Hi, everybody. My name is Urson Russell, and I'm with Patriot Force California. We've been an organization for a little over a couple years, and when we first kind of met each other online and started to be interested, it was obviously after the 2020 elections, like so many other people. Starting to pay attention more to what's going on out there, asking a lot of questions about our system and our government and the relationship we seem to have in our culture between the two. And so I, along with many other people, and who here has been more politically active longer than 2020? Who here is? Well, there you go. God bless you all for being in this fight a lot longer. I've met some people that have been doing this for 30 and 40 years, and I just, the amount of hair I've wanted to pull out from time to time as I've been learning how things are going, I just can't imagine the ups and downs and the things that they've been through. But one of the things we looked at as an organization when we all got together was where are the gaps? And so what do I mean by that? Well, is there organizations that are already teaching people how to be poll watchers, poll observers? The Election Integrity Project of California has been doing a really good job of that. Even the GOP local chapters will teach about poll watching and poll observing. Filing lawsuits, Judicial Watch, EIPCA, whatever it is, parents' rights, There's all sorts of groups and things that are happening around the state for parents' rights. And so what we looked at was between what we're fighting for to get rid of machines, to get the right elected officials into office, between fighting for our parents' rights, why are we at this place that we're at? And all that really comes down to that we have not been taught about what our responsibility is in a democracy, let alone a constitutional republic. Our civic duty, right? That's the responsibility of the citizens, to just really put it simply. And so it's not in our education anymore. We don't teach that in classes. It's not taught in our culture. It's not part of our awareness, really, as citizens in mass, that the government is supposed to be working for us. They're supposed to be doing things under a premise of consent of the governed. We shouldn't have to really go further than our city council and school boards, and they should be the ones representing us up the food chain to make sure that we're represented properly in the county or the state or at a federal level. And so that's our form of representative government, and that actually transcends a democracy or a constitutional republic. So we looked at those things and said, okay, let's start networking with groups and let's learn about our election system, because that is where we think all of these issues are revolving around. The things that are happening to parents' rights and to our children being attacked, to our infrastructure, to our energy policy, to sending $220 billion to Ukraine and $700 to everyone in Maui, to the list goes on and on, is because everything revolves around the elections. And so in 2021, we had the recall election. And we certainly can't say with certainty, but I'm happy to say publicly, because it's information that we can share. We did an exit poll, and we polled about 35,000 people across the state of California after the recall. And 5% of them answered anonymously. 95% gave their name, contact info, all of that. And they also answered the question whether they voted to recall Gavin Newsom. Those results were over 96% of who we surveyed said they voted to recall Gavin Newsom. So Trafalgar and Rasmussen, they can do surveys with 2,000-3,000 people and tell you like what the whole spectrum of politics is about. And so we looked at that and said, boy, that really is a powerful message, along with everyone that we heard about being told that they had already voted when they went to the polls. Anybody hear those stories in the 2021 elections? So our system, our election system right now, has no transparency and accountability to you as the citizen. And what do I mean by that? There's no transparency in our election machines. I'm not a cybersecurity expert. I'm not someone that's been in the military. But there's questions that we should all be able to ask about these machines that are supposed to follow certain guidelines and laws and rules, like they can't be connected to the internet. And when we go in to ask those questions as citizens, and a lot of times it seems like we're asking for permission instead of demanding compliance, respectfully, not pitchforks and torches, but going in there and saying, no, you work for us, this is what we're looking for. When we ask, say, to let's open the machines and let's look inside those machines and see if there's any technology that can be connected to the internet, we're told no, that's going to decertify them, it's going to cost you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Great, well then let's bring in some cybersecurity people and try and hack the system. No, we can't do that. It's always obfuscation and doors that are closing. So the system that doesn't have transparency to us, the people, where we should be able to ask any question that we want to people that are supposed to be working for us, that are supposed to be under the consent of the governed, we have a little ways to go, don't we, folks? We have a little ways to go to where we feel like we actually have representative government at the most local level, even at the most local level, where your city council is fighting like Huntington Beach and Torrance to say, no, we're not doing the mask mandates. We're going to go and pull our elections out of the county and statewide system and run them locally. All of these things that these cities can be doing and are doing right now in California, but we're not hearing about those in mass. We have to go hunt down that news, don't we? And so all of that in our civic duty and the transparency in the election system, I'd go through a few things here and hopefully a couple of points that helps us get a little idea and understanding of what system that we're actually operating in California. Is that good? Okay. So right now in California, we have 58 counties. Okay? We have a huge concentrated population in California in our counties. Your county here, Los Angeles, who's all from Los Angeles County here? Show of hands. Everybody? Okay. Is 25% of our entire state's population. Just one out of our 58 counties. Los Angeles County is also bigger than 40 other entire states in our whole nation. So your county here has so much influence not only on the state, but on the nation from a standpoint of its politics, its power, Hollywood is here, and all those types of factors. Our top 10 counties in California, 58, is almost three quarters of the entire state. So 10 counties are basically dictating what the rest of our state, how they live their lives. What's the political landscape that's up in Sacramento? And we're getting such this diverse gap between what we want at a local level and what's being pushed down from more of an authoritarian rule from the top. Voters' Choice Act is something that is really changing the game from the requirement for machines in our elections. The Voters' Choice Act was adopted in 2016 by our state legislature. And what that said essentially was counties that wanted to participate in the Voters' Choice Act could now go and mail a ballot out to everyone in their elections within their county. They could start to offer the voter drop boxes that we've come to find out have been funded through Mark Zuckerberg and through the layers of the Center for Tech and Civic Life and all that funding that went around the entire country. The voter drop boxes, vote centers, extended days of voting, those were all part of the Voters' Choice Act. So a couple of aspects of that right now, AB 37, which was passed in 2021, right after the recall election, that's now made it where every registered voter in California gets a vote-by-mail ballot sent to them, no matter what county you're in, no matter whether you're part of the Voters' Choice Act or not. Now, as of today, we have 27 counties and counting that are part of the Voters' Choice Act. You guys are in Los Angeles. Our largest county in California that's not part of the Voters' Choice Act is San Bernardino County, which also happens to be the largest geographic county in the entire United States, not just in California. So California's got the largest populous county, as well as the largest geographic county. Used to be the fourth or fifth largest economy. That's why the fight is here, folks. The people that are leaving and think they can escape the fight that's here, this is where the fight's at. And if we don't win back this state, one city and county at a time, then it's just going to spread throughout the rest of the United States over a matter of time. We all wore board shorts out here, think we were cool, and then all of a sudden people in Oklahoma started wearing board shorts. It spreads. What we do out here unfortunately spreads across the United States. This Voters' Choice Act that started in 2016 has contributed to massive waste for us as taxpayers. With every person that's registered getting a vote-by-mail ballot sent to them that doesn't use that for multiple reasons. One, they never even received it, so it got sent back as a non-deliverable. They chose not to vote in the election. They chose to go vote in person instead of to use their vote-by-mail ballot. That equates to nothing but trash that piles on top of trash and piles on top of trash. And so in our state, since the Voters' Choice Act in 2016, the clouds that we've got out here today, the lovely clouds, they're about 4 miles up into the sky, and planes fly about 7 miles up. The stack of ballots that we've wasted as Californians since 2016 is almost 60 miles high. Space starts at 62 miles. That's the kind of system that we've got. And what was the Voters' Choice Act supposed to do? Increase voter participation. It didn't do that. You can look clearly at 2018 to 2022, and voter participation's down in almost every metric. It was also supposed to give the voters more options to go and vote. But your county went from hundreds of local polling locations at a local fire station or someone's used to be someone's garage. We can talk about that and the American for Disabilities Act and how that's affected that. But used to be hundreds and hundreds of local polling centers that were fire stations and libraries and businesses all around your community. And now they've consolidated those down to more centralized vote centers. And so how is that expanding people's choices? By reducing the amount of options. And so their argument is obviously that, well, we give you more days to vote. You can just drop it in the mail. You can put it in a secure drop box. But I want to go vote in person, and I want to go vote in person on election day. And I want to go vote closest to me right down the street like I used to, and you've taken that option away from me. So our Voters Choice Act is something that we're working actively right now to keep counties from joining, number one, across the state, and number two, to get out of them. Because what is the Voters Choice Act key tenet? You live in Santa Monica. You work in Pasadena. You can go down the street to the vote center in Pasadena and get the ballot for your local election in Santa Monica. Convenience. That sounds good. The problem with that is it requires machines to do that process. We can't possibly have one of every local ballot at every local polling center around all of LA County. That's not feasible. We also, the printing of ballots, that's going to require us being connected to the internet through our poll books. So those are another aspect that we're trying to get away from electronics in the overall system of our elections. Hand counting, that's really what we all want, right, folks? Hand count, manually tally it. There is a camera that's video recording this. That is transparent and is accountable. We want an election system where you have to trust nobody. That's what we want. Where you don't have to trust a machine. You don't have to trust the internet. You don't have to trust the person working. Because it's so transparent and it's so accountable. And anyone can go and watch it and go and follow the process. Even a 92-year-old grandmother that's never been on the internet. She has no less rights to have her vote counted in the state than someone that's an 18-year-old tech wizard. So we have to fight to work to protect everyone's vote, and we have to create a system where we literally have to trust nobody. So Shasta County, everyone's heard about Shasta County ending their Dominion contract, going to hand counting manual tallies. But we have an authoritarian state legislature and secretary of state and state government. They've gone and passed or working on passing. I think it's just about to be signed by Governor Newsom. The AB 969, Assembly Bill 969, which essentially says every county that has a race with 1,000 or more voters in that election must use machines to tabulate their election results. Now, we have a county in California. Anybody know what our smallest county is in California? No? Alpine County. It's kind of towards the north, northeast. How many registered voters do you think there are in Alpine County? Anybody? Wild guess. Anyone?
700.
Close. 915 as of the 2022 elections. We have 12 counties in California with 15,000 or less total registered voters. Do you need machines to count 15,000 votes in a race? It's ridiculous, and most of these counties were given the machines, and they didn't even want them, and the state gave them to them for free so that they could centrally control and monitor the elections. And that's one of the key issues with our machines in our elections and our total overall vote system. Shasta County's fight's not over. They are working actively to recall board members that are fighting for them up there. They've got the Secretary of State that is breathing down their neck and possibly going to file lawsuits. AB 969 is going to now put pressure on their board. Are they going to be able to go and do a hand count manually tally system? And there's actually some really positive strategies, folks. And I'm not going to say them because I'm on video and I know this is going to get out publicly. But but heed that there are some really great strategies for us to still use the tools that we have, and even within the context of AB 969, to have a hand-counted and manually tallied election. So just know that we're working towards that. We're getting all these different counties that are focused on something like a hand count manually tally. But at the end of the day, more than anything, whether it's machines or hand counting and manually tallying, what we need is really good, strong elected representatives. Ones that are ready to push back on this line that's kept getting pushed on us and pushed on us and pushed on us. And whether it is energy, whether it's a right to protect ourselves, whether it's our kids, whether it's our businesses, whether it's COVID and our own health choices, we need elected representatives that are ready to push back on this whole entire system. So Shasta is a great example for this state. They're not the smallest county. They've got about 200,000-300,000 registered voters, so it's a pretty decent-sized county. And so anybody that knows anybody up there or if anybody's in a position to help them with any of their efforts or funding and things, please reach out. That community is pivotal in our fight right now, and we're watching as close as we can as far as what our state legislature does and things. Eliminating machines like we were talking about earlier, it's made with source code that we don't actually get to know what the source code is. It's protected under intellectual property rights. iPhones are protected under intellectual property rights, and that's okay. That's their private business. But these are our elections. They're supposed to be under our consent, and we should be able to see everything that happens in the way our election systems are run, be able to inspect those, monitor them, question them. They're made with parts that are made from all over the world. There isn't one election system that's actually made in America right now with actual domestic parts that we've got here. And if we wanted, like I was saying earlier, open the machines to just check to see what's inside. Let's open up one of them. Well, that's going to cost us $6,000 or $10,000. Great. We're going to go get, how many signatures do you need? We're going to go get approval from the citizens that they're willing to spend. With how you guys waste money, are you kidding me? They're happy to spend $6,000 or $10,000 to open up one of these machines. Let's check it out. Well, no, we can't do that. That would violate the rules. What rules? Well, it's the rules of the Secretary of State. What rule? We have to learn. We have to learn how to demand for compliance, demand compliance, and not. Wow. Sorry about that. We need to learn how to demand compliance and not ask for permission, as I was mentioning earlier. So what are the things we can do in the county? And folks, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You're in Los Angeles County. You're in the most difficult county in our state. You have a board of supervisors that obviously doesn't care. You used to have an awesome sheriff that cared about the people here, and they've been voted out of office. Your cities need to wake up. Santa Fe Springs is actually a pretty good city from crime and their city council and their school board and things that are happening there. I've talked to some of the local grassroots. But we need a lot of your cities to wake up in L.A. County to be the most impactful, or for you guys to pack 500 people down at the county board members, you know, meeting every 2 weeks. And that's a lot of effort. That's a lot to coordinate. That's a lot of people's precious time to sacrifice. And so in 2024, at a county level, what can you guys do? Fight for your city council races. Fight for those school board races. Those are your most achievable races. They're smaller in size and scope and total number of voters. They're more intimate. People know those communities and districts of the cities better than, say, they do a portion of a county or the state. We've got to go and take a different approach, a kind of out-of-the-box thinking to what it is that we're doing, where it works for us. And so I'm in Orange County in Costa Mesa, and it's been really hard for me in this fight because I've sacrificed a lot of efforts in Costa Mesa, in Orange County, in order to be active in places that were more achievable. Fresno County, Shasta County, Kern County, San Joaquin. A lot of the Central Valley counties have amazing things happening there. San Joaquin, everybody heard about Lodi and where the city councilman Khan that was arrested for the vote scheme. So had a poker house. They're trying to crack down on poker houses. He's a city council person, says this to the local law enforcement. There's a group of local grassroots up there that's doing election integrity work. They turn in a bunch of names of questionable votes to the sheriff, and somehow they just cross paths, act, you know, divine providence, whatever it is. And so they go start looking. This city council person's of Pakistani descent, and he is just registering non-citizen Pakistani immigrants that are here using same signature, same address, same phone number, same email, like just foolishly, just arrogantly duplicating these things, and he got busted. So they arrested him. He's out on bail, and they say he can't leave the state, and he's caught on Facebook over across the states and the East Coast, and they go arrest him again, and now, you know, you can't leave the state. But it's just the arrogance of these people. But the sheriff in San Joaquin County, they're actively pursuing election fraud. Actively pursuing it. So if anybody says there's no election fraud in California, just ask them to go and check out what's happening in San Joaquin. Super simple. We do a lot of canvassing efforts as well. Does anybody know what election reform canvassing is, or if they've done it before? Uh-huh. So it's basically, it's our civic duty. Our counties are not going out and doing a good job of maintaining our voter rolls. Now, it's also an endless battle the way that our state works. So let me start there. Our county voter rolls are connected to our state voter rolls. That's a system called VoteCal. And that's here in the second choice on the paper for anybody that's got it. The VoteCal system is a live feed of the voter rolls back and forth. You have $100 in your bank account. You go spend $40 at the store. You can't go somewhere else and spend another $100. You've only got $60 left. It's that kind of a live interaction feed that happens. That's how the DMV registers people into our statewide voter rolls, is through this application and through the connection with the state. Well, there's also a climate action group that can register voters into our statewide voter rolls. Rock the Vote can register voters at concerts directly into our statewide voter rolls. Connect, K-O-N-N-E-C-H, everybody remember them in the news about Connect and True the Vote that exposed them and how your D.A. Gascon here arrested him for a while, Eugene Yu, the founder of Connect. They have access to our statewide voter rolls. So all these organizations that are connected to the state and that are connected to your county, those roles are changing faster than you can possibly keep up with. So the effort isn't to clean them thinking we're going to have them clean and they won't change. The effort is to teach all of us, to teach our elected officials how actually, in fact, dirty and poorly run they are. Why is that important? Because we've got to show them that they're trying to manage a system that's unsustainable as it stands right now. It's completely unsustainable. And is that pressure going to happen from 12 or 15 or 100 of us at the board? Or is it going to happen from cities saying, county, our citizens are tired of this. Either clean up your act or we're going to take our elections out of your county system. We're taking our elections completely out of your county system and we're going to manage our own elections. That's number one. Number two, you need to start changing the things that you're not doing. You're not cleaning up the voter rolls. Here's the proof and the evidence. Doing that work, representing us as the citizens, right? So those are all the activities that are happening. And what canvassing does is helps us go and knock on those doors and verify that information. So we go around and we say, hi, Mrs. Johnson, how are you today? I'm seeing here that you guys have 6 people registered to vote here. And she's like, no, it's just myself and my husband and my son. I said, well, but John Smith and this David and Julie, they don't live here? No, I've never heard of those people. How long have you lived here? I've been here for about 10 years. And so you can see when these people registered, you can see that they were updated their registration through updating their driver's license. We have all those things that we can see. How is someone that hasn't lived here for 10 years still on the voter rolls? And we can get deep into that and discuss all of those details, and I'm not going to get too deep into that for today's discussion. But the point is, they don't have the ability at the county level to actually keep up with it. It's changing constantly. So who is Patriot Force California? We are a smaller organization than the People's Rights. There's about 7 or 8 of us. We made a conscious decision early on to not come and try to be another county, city, precinct, organizational group. And why was that important to us? Groups separate, don't they? And there's things that happen within the groups. And there's already established parties, grassroots, Republican Women's Federated, CRAs, and local organizations like you guys all across this state. And all they need is a little bit more guidance and tools, mentoring, support, into understanding a system and how it works so we can start to take action within our own city or within our own counties and do our own civic duty. A lot of these groups are already fighting for kids' rights. A lot of these groups are already fighting for against the abuse of the county, against vax mandates, mask mandates. They're already in these battles. But when it comes to election time, that effort needs to change and into a focus where we can really have the most achievable and impactful change. And that's what we hope as Patriot Force California, that we can work with you as well as groups all across the state. And right now we're working with about 18 different counties out of 58. So we have a ways to go. We are working with the biggest counties in the state. So we're covering over 3/4 of the state from the counties that we do work with. But from an overall percentage of 58 of them, it's a lot of our smaller counties that we're trying to get really connected with up in the north. And that effort is to create something that's momentum, something that's achievable. Because where is it easier, do you think, to get rid of machines? In a county with 4,000 voters or in a county with 5 to 6 million? 4,000 voters. That person or group up in that county is going to walk in and is going to go, Adam, because they're probably on the same bowling league or go to the same church together or their kids have been in school together. Why do we even have these machines, Adam? Did we pay for these things? How do we get rid of them? Do we really need machines to count 4,000 votes, Adam? Let's get rid of them, can we? So that's the type of conversations that we can have in L.A. County or Orange County or San Bernardino County or our largest counties, but those are conversations in those smallest counties. And so the things that are achievable and where Patriot Force is trying to help groups like you and across this state is to get an education and understanding of the election system, how to work with and communicate with your elected officials effectively, and how to take up your civic duty that doesn't end after the elections. Because folks, I got to tell you, it's a republic if we can keep it. And most of us think that's long gone, and we're actually in the battle right now to get it back. And so within that, I'll close with what are action plans at a high level? First and foremost, build community, and you guys are doing that, and each have an extended community, and hopefully some of what you learn gets out to your extended community as we prepare for this battle ahead of us. And I'm talking specifically for the battle around our elections and fighting for those local candidates that we can really effectively impact those elections. We need to educate each other and continue to share this stuff, and I can do Zoom calls. We don't use Zoom anymore. Now I use an app called Meetin. Is everybody aware that Zoom now has an AI that's listening to every phone call to improve the product? Yeah, they were open about it, so it's not controversial. They put out an article. It's to improve the product, so don't use Zoom anymore. M-E-E-T-N, Meetin.com, great app made by Foundations of Freedom. But you guys get 10, 12 of your friends, I'm happy to come to your living room and do something intimate. I'm in Orange County and Costa Mesa. And anything really from San Diego to like northern LA is out to the Inland Empire is right within my purview. I've even gone as far north as Fresno, you know, for a few things. But let's build this education. Let's start to learn about these things. Let's you know, if you don't remember everything I said about the Voters' Choice Act and about VoteCal and our system and how things are working, then let's get something locally set up for you guys as an extension of this meeting. Or invite me back at some point. Or as we grow, we can do Zoom, you know, online meetings, anything. I am at your service. And then the last thing is our commitment. I have a commitment to my country. I have a commitment to God. Does anybody else here feel the same way? A show of hands. Thank you. Amen. He's got a hand in this. The momentum is on our side. But there's going to be challenges still. There's going to be successes and setbacks and failures and push-throughs and things all across the state. And there are a lot of times going to be happening right now, folks, in ways that we don't necessarily see. We don't necessarily see all those things. And so as we stay committed to each other in our own community here and to our families, to our faith community, we need to know that no one else is coming to really fix this or to save us. And then we know that the system isn't going to fix itself. And so I want to share just a couple other little small things with you, and then we'll kind of get more towards a Q&A session here. We've been working with your LAGOP, Siaka Mosakwai, Tim O'Reilly, Mitch Clemens, great people. They are trying their best within the confines and the understandings of what the GOP is to try and bring back the grassroots and the local activism back into the LAGOP. And like I said, it's not easy, but they're giving it a try. They don't think that people that are Republicans are really going to let people ballot harvest their ballots. So I thought that was refreshing, you know, that that's actually their belief system, that most of us Republicans are going to say, that's my ballot. You're not taking that. I'm keeping that. That's my chain of custody. And so in working with them since the GOP, the state GOP's message that everyone I'm sure heard about early voting and ballot harvesting, and that's how we're going to beat the Democrats in 2024. A couple of things we need to understand. Ballot harvesting, number one, we're not willing to pay for someone's ballot. We all agree? That's not ethical or moral. They are. Does understand that? They're willing to pay for those ballots. We're not willing to fabricate a vote. They are. We are constantly behind the line from ballot harvesting and those efforts. And I think the GOP, from what I'm hearing, is starting to shift to something more realistic of focusing on your low propensity Republican voter and then your low propensity no party preference. That, I think, is at least something that's starting to get into a more practical conversation instead of setting up something based on work that they've never done before in the state. That's ballot harvesting. Early voting, as we described earlier, everyone can see who's voted. You can go get the list. I can go get the list. The parties can go get the list, and so can bad actors. And they know you've been a registered Republican for how long, and they have a statistical example that knows exactly how you're going to vote within a plus or minus. And they're watching that. Now, the nefarious side is that they're actually getting to tap into the machines and see what the count is, and those are all the things that we're trying to figure out, right? But let's say that they don't have that and they can just get close through that, that every early vote that comes in is just giving them one more piece of the recipe. One more piece of the recipe. And the only way to compete with that is to vote in person on election day. And the biggest argument I've heard so far against that, and please ask any challenging question that you want of me when we go to Q&A, I'm an open book, is we're going to get Kerry Lake'd if we tell everybody to go vote in person on election day. And my question to them is, what plan have you been discussing to keep that from happening? And they say, well, what do you mean? Are you going to talk to your board of supervisors? Are you going to talk to your ROV and put them on notice? Are they aware of what happened in Arizona? And what safeguards are in place if you're not allowing that to happen in our elections here? Proactive, taking initiative. And so through that conversation, we developed a voting participation plan, because isn't that really what ballot harvesting is, folks? Increasing the voter participation so we can win more races? Well, that works to be done now. Ballot harvesting and early voting is in February or March or October, November of next year. But right now, our faith community, which is where everything starts, because our business leaders, our veterans leaders, people in our local grassroots groups, candidates, people that are part of political parties, they all go to church. And that faith leader right now that is getting stoked up through the salt and light work, through different individuals that are creating these coalitions to go and say, we're going to be part of that rebirth of the Black Robe Regiment that actually founded and helped this country start. And we're going to be open about speaking about our elections and voting with our values. And we're going to open up our church on election day. And we're going to promote the elections. And we're going to try and get every person in our congregation registered. And if people need help voting and by ballot harvesting, we're going to do that the day, you know, just before the elections, as opposed to, say, weeks and weeks before. So there's things that we can do in this faith community, and that's what this whole plan that we've gone through with the LAGOP and with local grassroots for the work and the action that can be done now. And I'll be emailing this to you guys, and we can even set up a private meeting to really go over some of this stuff in more detail. So that's what we're trying to do, is to take action and do things that are achievable and think outside the box and go in with a different approach. And do we know it's going to work? No. But you know what? It took Heinz 57 tries before they got the sauce right, folks. And WD-40, 40 attempts to get that formula. And we're not going to stop. It's our country. And so I'll end my segment with this, my favorite words written by the 56 founders of our country. They're the last words of our Declaration of Independence. To frame that up, we're in a time in history. We're the largest military power on the planet's motto was "The sun never sets on the British Empire." Because somewhere in the world, the British Empire had colonies where the sun was shining at some point during the day. And 56 brave people in the middle of a revolutionary war signed a document and ended it with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. God's hand in this action that we're taking and signing this document and making this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And many of them lost their lives during that battle. So I give my life to this right now. I don't have a family. I'm not married. My business partner is amazing and allows me to do as much as I do in this fight. And I give every waking minute that I've got to spare. Isn't there football or something going on today somewhere? Like, yeah, don't care about that right now. Don't care. So you've got my life. If I had millions, I'd give it. And all I can give you is what I know to be as true as I've been able to run it to the depths of forever and multiplied times infinity, because I want to become an election expert to help teach all of you how to take this system back and put it into your hands. So thank you very much for letting me share. Appreciate it. Yeah. One last thing to show you here, make sure that this gets on video. Is this really the system you want to put your vote by mail ballot into? That's not secure. Go vote in person on election day. The polls open at 7 in the morning. Do your civic duty. State law says if you can't get to the polls, your company must give you 2 hours off paid time to go and vote on election day in person. Know the law. Be nice to your boss. Thank you, everybody.
All right, gang, we'll open it up for Q&A, and I have the first question. So, could you again repeat that exit poll you talked about with the recall election?
Yeah.
Because I think it says something very important.
So it's about 35,000 people. It started with one of our co-founders' wives that was just there with a clipboard. And so she was just standing outside the polls doing it manually. Her husband went and created, you can go right now, onlineexitpoll.com. I think it's still up there where people can fill it out. And so he created that night. They started promoting it. Got about 35,000 total people to submit their answers to the poll. 5% were anonymous, meaning they didn't give name or any information, and 95% gave everything, name, phone number, all information, and whether they voted to recall Newsom. And it was a little over 96% of all of them, including the anonymous ones, so of that whole pool, over 96% said they voted to recall Newsom. And so that tells us that the system is set up, if it can go, and if it's set up to cheat, to produce a result like that when it's so polarly opposite, we really have a long way to go, folks, to where we can understand how this can quite possibly happen. So we can't say for sure that Gavin Newsom lost that election, but every metric that we can follow from trends and from looking online and from data patterns, it was pretty black and white. But we don't know for sure because the law is just not on our side right now. Yes, sir.
My name's Ira. This isn't my question, but it's just a follow-on to what you just said. The 36,000, how were they spread out throughout the state?
We hit, I think, 45 out of the 58 counties responded. There was a lot more up towards the kind of Sacramento, Roseville-like type area because that's where they live when they were doing the survey and so forth. But I couldn't tell you off the top of my head exact metrics, but I'm happy to publish those and share them with you.
Thanks. So my question is, when you're talking about recall, the one with Gascon here, that the group that sponsored the recall, I don't know exactly what they asked, but they asked Dean Logan, you know, the registrar in L.A. County. They wanted to see the signatures, or they wanted to do something, and he said no. Right. I don't know if you're familiar with that or exactly what the information is.
So not in depth. All I know is that in Los Angeles County, you know, it's the attitude of their elected officials here, especially, it seems like, you know, in that office. And you know, Dean, if you're listening to this, you know, I've never met you, but there's a lot of reports out there that, you know, of concerns where it's kind of an attitude of just, you know, sue us. Like, you know, if you don't like it. EIPCA and Judicial Watch, they had that big lawsuit with LA County. They won it in 2017. It was settled in 2019. But the settlement said, not you have to clean the rolls now, but after two more federal elections, 2020 and 2022. That's now then they had to go and clean the rolls. And I don't think many people think that's justice. So Dean Logan up there seems to be difficult from a lot of candidates that I've spoken to that have tried to work with him and get information about even their own districts and stuff. But we've got a long way to go in LA County, and I don't think it's going to be able to come as much from the individuals as it's going to be, let's take over some cities and use those cities to create a coalition of cities in LA County to start to put pressure on the county. Because that's really our system of government, folks. That was the founding fathers' vision, right? City council, school board, local to you, has the most power of them all. Then you go up to the county, and the city goes to the county and says, this is what my constituents need. And the counties go and write bills to support, not top down like we get, all of this push down, vax mandates, parents' rights, gender affirmation, all of this stuff. No, it was all designed to come from the bottom up. And we all know that we've got a long way to go before we kind of feel that our society is working that way again. Any other questions?
Hi. My name is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
I go to PCC. So I go to Pasadena City College, and as you know, all colleges in California and elsewhere, they are trying to get these young people to vote Democrat. So that's no question about it. So here we have the Rock to Vote on our portal, how to vote, what you will need to register online. Your California driver's license, which anybody can get, the last four digits of your Social Security number, which anybody can get, and your date of birth. And you register online, and you're a citizen right there and there. You can go and vote. So how are we going to stop that? What does Social Security do about it? We need either a national ID, we need a voter's ID. That's what we need, that we could just put it together with citizenship. Every country in the world have to be a citizen to vote, only in the United States. So I don't want to be pessimistic, but we have a leg down and the other one even downer.
Right. And the thing that's good about that is that we've learned about all those things in such a short period of time that have taken them decades to set up and get us prepared for.
We learned this in 2008. 2008, they gave us somebody who's a community organizer, and we knew that. And what is a community organizer? It's a communist. That's what community organizing is. On campus, we have pictures of what's his name, Karl Marx, and underneath it says, "What are you waiting for? Organize." That's what it says.
Right.
The picture. I'll take it next week. I'll show it to you guys. That's
I believe
what it is. All over campus.
I believe it.
So, what are you waiting for? Organize.
Right. So right now there's 9 processes that you can update your driver's license. So that's everybody heard of the Motor Voter Program? Anybody? No? Okay. 1993, we did the National Voter Registration Act. And what it said in there was that you had to allow people to register to vote at DMV offices, welfare offices, social security offices, local government-run offices. You had to give people the option to be able to register to vote at those offices. In 2015, Governor Brown passed legislation or signed legislation passed by the Assembly that said in California, as opposed to it being optional for you to be registered to vote when you update your driver's license, it's going to be automatic now. So you're automatically opted in to update your registration when you go and update a part of your driver's license. You have to know to check the box to say, opt me out, do not register me. We hear a lot of things about party affiliation changing in that process. That's a whole nother conversation. There's 9 ways. 5 or 6 of them never sees a human being. It's all online. So any of you can go to the Secretary of State's website and sign up for registration and go and look through the process. And there's a box you check that's got an asterisk. You have to check it and affirm that you're a U.S. citizen. That's not that hard to do. When it goes and asks for your driver's license, you can check a box that says, I don't have a driver's license. When it goes and asks for your Social Security number, you can check a box that says, I don't have a Social Security number. Then what that does is it flags a report that apparently the counties don't really know about from what we've figured out so far. Flags some report at the state level that says that voter that just registered that didn't have a driver's license, that didn't have a Social Security number, we're going to send that to the Social Security Administration office. And if you want to look it up yourselves, you have a pen and paper, search HAVV and SSA, Help America Vote Verification and the Social Security Administration. So they send these names off for verification that there's some Social Security number that's associated with that voter record. California's the winner. We have submitted 8.5 million submissions since 2011. 6.8 million of those submissions have come back with no matching record. 75% of the submissions have come back with no matching record. Are those people still in the rolls? The counties have no idea. They don't even know what that system is. They don't have a list of those voters. And so we've just started engaging the ROVs we're working with to try and get with the state and to say, teach us all about this, because they our own county elected official doesn't really seem to know too much about it. So we do have a big hurdle, ma'am, in so many ways. And all of us as citizens and doing what we're doing, we need to get some other momentum and some backing with us. And we just don't see how it happens any other way than with getting cities on our sides. The cities and the school boards. We have cities in California right now, sanctuary cities. Anybody ever heard of that? Yeah. All right, now we got a show of hands. Sanctuary city that can tell the federal government, immigrations and customs enforcement, we have illegal immigrants into this city and you can't come here. You have no jurisdiction or authority within the city limits to come and investigate or ask any questions. Well, on the other extreme of that, Atwater, California, right in the middle of COVID, passed a resolution at the city council level in support of their businesses being free from COVID restrictions. Did we hear about that on the news? No, because they're all sponsored by Pfizer. But we didn't know that a city in the middle of COVID stood its ground and said, we're not doing that. And now look at what's happening with our cities right now. They're getting preemptive, right? And they're going, bring it. You're not doing that in my city jurisdiction. And so San Clemente, down by me in Orange County, in the last year, they've declared themselves to be a Second Amendment preservation city. If you're a San Clemente resident in the confines or in the jurisdiction of San Clemente, they're going to defend your right to protect yourself. They're going to protect your Second Amendment rights. Our cities have extraordinary power, folks, that we are not wielding. And we've got to use them to push back on this line. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I liked what you said about instead of going and asking hat in hand for them to do this, please, we demand their compliance.
Yeah.
Because they are supposed to be complying with what we want.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit and also about the source code. I know maybe a lot of people are not familiar with it, but having open source code is absolutely key to finding out whether the program that they're using is cheating.
Right.
And also, like you said, about opening up the machines, that's vital because there could be a wireless transmitter connected to the internet inside that machine. And I was wondering if you could just speak to that and how we can get those machines opened up.
So it's either going to be through a lawsuit or some county board that decides, you know, that they want to work for the people and open up the machines. They don't have to open up all of them. They don't have to open up all the machines. We don't have to decertify every election machine that's in our system. They just need to open up one. Let us look at it. Let us inspect it. Let us bring in cyber people that know how to look for this stuff and audit these types of things. That's transparency. That's simple. That's easy to ask for. But we keep getting, obviously, walls and blockades from being able to do that. And I don't know always what it is, Adam, whether it is willful ignorance or actually some sort of understanding of, if we go down this rabbit hole, it's not going to end up good. And it's going to not maybe necessarily make me look bad, but it's going to create a lot of work for me that I don't want to do as a county official or you know, just a county employee. So I don't know. We're still trying to figure that out. But we give every single elected official the benefit of the doubt because we know how corrupted the system is. Folks, we have a cybersecurity high-tech data management system that is running our elections right now. What else does that do in our society? Our banks. Our banks are high-tech cybersecurity data management systems. But your ROVs don't have 20 years of cybersecurity experience. Your ROVs don't have someone on full-time staff that's looked at data analysis for the last 20 years. That's not the type of qualified staff or qualifications that our county officials have. And it's not their fault in a lot of situations because these systems are sent down kind of in a package of, hey, this is what you're going to do, and if you have an issue or a question, you just call the machine manufacturer. Okay. If I have a problem at home with my Dell, who do I call? I call Dell. If I have a problem with my HP, my phone, who do I call? You know? So it's these things that seem natural or normal to the elected officials, and this is what I do at home with my computer. Why wouldn't I call Dominion if I have an issue or what so forth? So those things and educating them on what the system is supposed to be in transparency, that's part of our civic duty too. And we need to teach them again actually what their role is. Now, I want to... You asked me about demanding compliance instead of asking for permission. I just want to play this quickly. It's a couple of minutes, but I think it's really poignant. You guys may have heard this video before in the past. And I'll give you a copy of this if you want to cut it in for the actual production so that you guys can see it. I'm just going to play it for the audio here. Well,
profound national commitment to the principle that debate on public issues shall be uninhibited, robust, and wide open, and that it may well include vehement, caustic, and sometimes unpleasantly sharp attacks on government and public officials. That's constitutional case law in this nation. I don't have to be nice to you. Nobody behind me has to be nice to you. If you don't like living in the United States of America, then you can all move to Russia, Cuba, or China. This is the First Amendment. I will caution you, Solicitor. There is a video camera to my left. If you edit this tape, then you're going to have a big legal problem on your hands because my right to critique your fascism, which is what this is constitutionally protected. There are emails, public record emails, in which the Director of Equity is lobbying and advocating for public comment to be censored in this school district. And you know what? Lobbying for it, advocating for it. We've got the school board president saying she'll do better at hitting the mute button in blatant violation of the Constitution for her lobbying and her advocacy of unconstitutional censorship. I want you, the school board, to terminate the employment of Dr. Charissa Gibson with immediate effect. Tender your resignations for hating on this country. We have a God-given constitutional right to critique you, and we can speak in any lawful tone that we see fit. And don't go looking around, Benito, because this is the United States of America. You have a good... one more thing. I want to make a verbal request.
So I'll make sure you get that, and you can distribute to the whole team. So the point is, when we know our rights, when we know the law, and John got a lot to learn from you, when we know the rights and we know the law and we know the system, they can no longer trump us. They can no longer go around us. It now becomes we're in our own self-governance, and we're only going to be governed by our consent, and we can start to create those systems that actually supports that. I'm in LA County, so I've got to take a little bit of reservation with that, and that this is a long-term battleground. You guys have a big, big road ahead, but through local community efforts and building this momentum at the city level and local level is where I think you're going to have the best chance in LA County. Because Long Beach to Lancaster is like two different states. Yeah. It's absolutely, you guys are so diverse and so big and just so much, I don't know, just money that goes through and corruption and power and fighting and entanglement, all those things. So thank you for letting me share that video, and I'll make sure that you guys get that to distribute. Yes, sir.
Hi there. Thanks so much for speaking today. And maybe this is a silly question, but when you said, we're going to get Carrie Lake if people vote on election day, I didn't get that. So could you clarify what that means, please?
Thanks. So anybody follow in Arizona what happened to Carrie Lake on election day? So on election day, up until leading up on all of early voting, there's absolutely no issues with any ballot printing at the actual voting center. on election day, somehow miraculously, printers start printing a 19-inch ballot on 20-inch paper. So when ballots go through, they're obviously set up to read how it's set up, and now a 1-inch compressed version of that is kicking them out and kicking them out and kicking them out. And so it was like 55% or something of the vote centers had this issue, and it equated to thousands and thousands and thousands of voters being disenfranchised. Some of them going to other vote centers, but not being able to vote because they were still checked into the old vote center and didn't get exited out. Just an absolute mess. And so if we at least let the ROV know, if we at least let the ROV know and the county board, what protections are you putting in place to keep this from happening? Now we have standing. Whether it's going to go anywhere in court or how many millions of dollars or how long it's going to take, that's a whole different conversation. But at least we can say, look, we went here, we asked, they said there's no concern, they've got it covered, but it happened. Now we need repercussions, we need something to happen because of this, something to change.
So they sabotaged the waiting to vote at the last minute kind of thing with
Correct.
This. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because they knew.
For clarifying. Thanks.
Yeah. And it affected not only Kerry Lake's race, but Abe Amade, and as well as some of the other races from just, you looked at the comparison of all like the statewide races, like the state legislature, and how heavily they were for Republican candidates, but somehow the governor and secretary of state and attorney general all flipped, and it was more, Democrats. So there's a lot of really weird pattern stuff, too, in Arizona. Yes, ma'am.
As a
you
poll
and I are
worker,
becoming good friends.
As a poll worker, I've worked for many years in different precincts. And lately, you said something about Internet. I know for a fact that we have an IT guy sitting with us. He doesn't do anything. He's just on his computer. If we have problem, we call him to fix the problem. And he goes on the Internet. So he is familiar with the Internet. So don't tell me that there is no Internet involved with the machines. It's in plain sight. The Internet is functioning in collaboration with these Dominion machines.
Well, so every election office is naturally going to have some sort of internet, right? I mean, to operate, to function, to just do day-to-day activities. This isn't the election machines I'm talking about. This is just in general, the office is going to have some sort of internet or wireless communications or activity. The machines themselves is what is obviously cannot be capable of connecting to the internet, and that's why opening them up is so important. They can't be by federal law capable of connecting to the internet. We don't even need to see them connect to the internet. If it's got a modem inside that machine, mm-hmm. it violates federal law.
Yeah.
And they know that. They know it violates federal law. Whether they know it has a modem inside or not, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
What,
I'm not going to presume.
Well,
they
give us the small computer that we check people
book?
In. Yeah, the poll.
Uh-huh.
We check people in.
Right.
But that is, of course, connected to the machine.
Correct.
Obviously. And how does the IT guy fix that and fix the machine at the same time? I don't know.
That's our argument, and we'd love to have an answer on that. So
okay.
if you find someone along your travels, we're trying to learn that too right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Come on up.
I just, when I did the, I believe it was, I went with a friend of mine in North Hollywood.
Okay.
When we did, I think it was the vote for Donald Trump in, what was it,
2020?
Yeah, 2020. So we went inside there, and this is kind of getting to what she was talking about with the internet thing and why, when I walked, I know I set up Wi-Fi modems for people. You know, I've done basic internet setups and stuff like that. And I knew that those machines were not supposed to be connected. But one of the weirdest things I saw is they had the machines, like I think it was like four of them or whatever, maybe eight. They were in the center of the it was like set up in a indoor basketball court in like a rec area.
Okay.
They had them set up like, I think, 4x4 in an 8 configuration. I saw power lines going to them, but I didn't see any Ethernet cables. But one of the things I did see that was really kind of alarming to me is there was a set of tables up against the wall. And there was like what looked like a little stand, right, with a pedestal on it. And I saw like a piece of cardboard. It said vote, right? You know, like those little cardboard cutout things. And I was like, okay, that looks a little. And I saw Ethernet wires and power wires. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I get to around the corner of the wall, and I'm like looking around. It's a Wi-Fi router. And they were obviously hiding it. And that was like, that's when I made my decision. I'm doing paper ballot for certain. Yeah. At that time, I didn't know like who to tell or whatever. But like, I know a Wi-Fi router when I see one.
Right.
And I was like, I'm thinking to myself, first off, what's this doing in here? And second of all, why do they have it covered with a vote thing? And I was like, obviously something very nefarious seemed to be going on with that.
Right.
So
who here has been to your vote processing center in City of Industry and Norwalk and Downey? Okay. You should go to all of them. I mean, Norwalk is the main. Yeah, it's the main one. And then I think Downey. Yep, Downey's another one. And then the City of Industry, the old Fry's Electronic, is where all the vote-by-mail ballots come into and where they separate, check signatures, and get them all prepared to go and actually be tabulated. Everyone should go and watch that. Your signatures in Los Angeles County are not verified by a human. They're verified by artificial intelligence, and it's 3 ballots every 2 seconds. Just and just spitting them out. There's no screen for you to look at and go, oh, no, yes, no, nothing. It's all artificial intelligence. It's all by machine. You get to see nothing in L.A. County. And it's eye-opening.
Yeah.
Huh?
Inside of an old Fry's store?
Yeah. Yeah, the old Fry's store that was there off in City of Industry.
Yeah.
Off like the 60 and something right there.
Right near the 605, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the demeanor of our officials speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since the way to catch them cheating is to open up the machines, particularly the tabulating machines, and the fact that they won't open them up is extremely telling. To me, if I were a detective, I would say, that is highly suspicious, and I would like to obtain a warrant to investigate that. But I was wondering if you could speak to what you've run into as far as resistance from our officials to doing those things, to opening up the machines.
So the most consistent thing that we find is elected officials that say, we're just following state law. And that's actually become part of our strategy, that we really want them to commit to that we're just following state law. Because then we get to now develop a strategy about getting them into that corner, and that at some point we're going to get them to an area where we just want them to follow state law. This is what's going to be the best for us and the best for the result. And at that point then, we'll kind of see how they flounder or things and so forth. You know, we have a couple of things. I mean, Article 2, Section 1 of our state constitution, not our U.S. constitution, but our state constitution. Article 2, Section 1 says all political power is. Do we need to wait for a minute?
Yeah, he's not recording anymore.
Well, I got an extra
idea. Yeah, just give us a second.
Hi. Article 2, Section 1 of our state constitution says all political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for their protection, security, and benefit, and they have the right to abolish or change it should it require. It's such simple language, folks, but we're not really using that power, right? We're not really using that. And so a lot of the ROVs and the meetings that I go into, like the first time and stuff, I'd like to just establish kind of, you know, some of our understanding, make sure that we're in agreement here. Our Article 2, Section 1 says the following. And so we just want to make sure that we're in full agreement, that we have every right to be here today and to ask these questions and to go deeper into this conversation. And so trying to get that elected official, whoever that is, to at least acknowledge that we have a constitutional right. We are the ones that have this power. Where they go fishing through the lanes with all that all changes depending on what the subject or the topic is. But we at least are trying to go in and right up front, just like some of the stuff, you know, John, I'm establishing this jurisdiction, right? This is the rules of our conversation today. I'm here. I have a constitutional right to be here to ask questions, and I'm the one that has the power to demand the stuff. So, yes, sir.
I didn't get to see all of Mike Lindell's technology about tracking these voting machines. Did you see it?
Yeah.
It's what I did see was quite amazing. He's able to actually in real time calculate the votes, where they're coming from, where it's transmitting, all the details of everything that's going on without consent of the government at all.
Correct.
And it seems to me that if we plug into that technology and make these people aware that we're going to do that, they don't have any place to hide because everything will be perfectly recorded and you can find all of the errors and all of the double voting.
So the only thing we could see that they could do in some sort of, you know, it wouldn't be very easy for them, but to get back onto some of the FirstNet's original bandwidth signal that they had, their Wi-Fi signals and things, so to change the bandwidth or frequency that we're maybe able to detect or look for. I'm not a cyber guy or a tech guy, so I don't really know enough about that to explain how that could work or couldn't work, but those are some of the only vulnerabilities that we're hearing from first reports, where they could go and maybe change or alter, or they could hardwire to, say, an Ethernet, you know, that now is going out wirelessly, but you're not really connected to the tabulator. So where is it you're getting the signal from, right? Because if it's the central hub for the whole entire office, they may have an excuse for that. Well, that's our internet. That's what we connect all of our computers mm-hmm. to and things. But our machines aren't connected. Well, because they're hardwired to something that's actually connected. So there's a lot of
variables.
Well,
it seems
there.
To me that they still can track it. What my understanding, just from the military technology that I knew about, is that we sense a transmission. We lock into it and see where it's going and what it's doing.
Correct.
We don't have to know what the frequency is. The machines pick them up automatically. And then they can track them.
And that may very well be the case.
Yeah.
So I love it from the standpoint that a cyber geek can put all these parts together and make one of these things. But you can't, and I can't, and Karen can't. I mean, none of us can. And so it commercializes something that's as simple as connecting like a set of Bluetooth headphones. You know, you go
well,
there.
Well, they said they don't even have to be connected to their systems. They can literally track it. You don't even have to be in the building. You can be outside the building.
Correct. Park outside the building, flip the thing on, and connect it to their app, you know, so that that particular unit's connected through the app,
right.
And then someone else is monitoring and
analyzing. It'll find the frequencies
that
are being used. You won't even have to look for them.
Correct.
I think that's a real safeguard because you have a real hammer then to come back at them right after the vote to show that there was something wrong here.
Well, and during early voting,
right.
The second you see it, you are going to the sheriff, you are going to the board, you're going to eat.
Yeah.
If we don't, there's not a board meeting for 10 days, you're going to every board meeting, six people with you, you're knocking on every door. You need to see this. I demand your time now. Our machines are being connected to the internet. I have the proof. If you don't do something about this, you're violating your sworn oath, and we're coming after you.
And I think that
the
backup is that this is already proven technology that it's not something they have to guess about.
It's
solid.
It's completely solid technology.
Yep.
And
so
I love it because it commercializes and puts it into everyone's hands.
Right.
I just hope that I'm one of the first ones to get it, not because I'm selfish, but because I'm the one that's going to get all the calls when people start having questions about it.
The other thing is we don't need to be at every location either.
No.
All we need is one, two of those, three of those, and they're going to pick up the faulty transmissions that they're doing.
Well,
that's enough to open the door.
Well, and so generally speaking, votes are not tabulated except for a central processing center.
Yeah.
So you only have 58 locations if you really, really...
Well, you don't need to look at the vote tally. You just need to look at the signals coming in. If there's more votes coming in than there are people,
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to see the anomalies, and that's what they're saying. The patterns that occur in when they're faulty voltage, they can see that stuff right away. They don't even have to know exactly where it's coming from or the numbers. I'm so impressed with these guys and what they're doing. It's amazing.
I'm super excited for it to come out.
The question, the thing that I keep bringing up from my point of view, when you talk about it, we have constitutional provisions here. Nationals have constitutional provisions and political rights. You as a citizen have abrogated that.
Right.
So just because you say that this is the rule and this is the law, they don't have to listen to you.
Right.
Because they're not operating in a constitutional area. They're operating in an administrative area.
Right.
So that's why they don't pay attention to you.
And we're working to change that, aren't we?
Yep,
absolutely. Yes, Carrie.
Oh. Hey, Erson, thank you so much for all the information and everything you're doing. Sounds like you're like 24/7 out there doing this.
It's my service to my country.
Really appreciate it.
Never served in the military, and
thank you. So I don't know. Maybe this is being a negative Nelly, but when you were talking about just a minute ago, you know, if we're going to bring the fraud to you, and if you don't do something about it, we're going to come after you. What about the fact that our judicial system is so, I don't know, it's lost. It's lost to us. How do we fix that? And how can we make this work with the current judicial system that we have being so corrupt?
Yeah. From what I've seen so far, Karen, and this is just from looking at the last couple of elections, the 2022 election, I mean, how many people, did something for the 2022 election? Well, it was
knocked, talked, walked, went to events,
helped get out the message, helped try to register people, helped went and poll watched, observed. I mean, all of those efforts that were put into that to have the type of, I don't know if anybody's looked, and I can send you this to share as well. Across every county, it's a pattern of election results. There's nothing random about our elections at all amongst the 8 statewide candidates in those states. And so when we looked at that and we're like, look at all the effort, look at all the money, look at all the time, and what was the outcome? Let's go spend all of our time on Congress. Why? Like, what is that going to change? That is the swampiest of swamp of dirt that you just, it's 3,000 miles away. Now, granted, they keep passing a bunch of laws that we don't like, but we're not even using the power that's closest to us yet. And I don't think that we're going to get the kind of momentum in our state that we want in any county until we get cities that are fighting for us. Fighting. Huntington Beach is being threatened by California right now because they don't want to do high-density housing. But they're saying, we don't care. Sue us. Our citizens don't want this. In Costa Mesa in 2018, we passed Measure Y. 68% to 32%, the citizens of Costa Mesa said, we're the ones that decide on high-density housing. But we're stupid. Because in 2022, they put Measure K. It's going to bring more resources, more police, more school resources. It's going to cut down on traffic. But when you read it and it says that it's going to increase the population by 30% in the next 8 years in a city that's increased in population 1% in 20, how are you going to cut down on traffic? Guess what that won by? 21 votes.
Wow.
68 to 32, we have the power. Reframe and repackage for all the people that are not paying attention. 21 votes or an extraordinary amount of cheating. Something. But Huntington Beach is fighting that. They're not letting them. And we've got to get the power of our cities back on our side. They've got to be fighting for us. And if we go to them and they're not, you're out. You're gone. You are nothing. But we've got to hit them individually in their offices too, with 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 people. In that meeting room, they're empowered. They are the majority. They're on the throne looking down at their subjects. But you sit at their level in their office, and there's always more of you than there is of them. We've got to change that. We've got to think outside the box. But L.A. County is particularly difficult. I'm not going to lie about that.
Well, it's not only in Arizona, Pennsylvania. Why are the people are still in line to vote, or we're counting the vote, and they have already announced the winner?
Sure.
So they must have some kind of communication. Well, of course they do, but I think people should not, they should not let them, they should let people finish voting, because it's really very, very disrespectful to the voters.
Right.
They're saying it's in your eye. Your vote doesn't count, because we know what your vote is going to be like.
It's another huge advantage of hand counting and manual tallying an election. Because law says you can't start reporting until an hour before the polls close. That's what law is in California, okay? So if you start hand counting and manually tallying, and maybe in a bigger precinct you might start around 4 or 5, but nobody knows what the count is. Nobody is told what the tally is. It doesn't go public. They can't – they're not going to be able to call that election before the polls close and start disenfranchising voters with results. What a lot of the precincts or they do – they start tabulating all these votes through the machines, and that actually is creating the record of the cast vote. But they're not by state law allowed to add all those tabulations together until election day. So that's why we get results coming so quick, is because they've been counting votes for weeks. And then they just go and take the V drives, the memory sticks, and put them into a central tabulation machine, and then that connects to Edison, which connects to the New York Times, which now starts feeding all of the traffic that we see on CNN or Fox or all these places that are watching election results. That's how the system works currently today. And if we hand-counted and manually tallied, you'd get none of that. Guess what we could do on election night? Go home to our families and friends and do something with our lives. Instead of sitting there and watching votes flip live on CNN and getting frustrated. Like, go vote and go home. Go back to life. Let's go back to something like that. Have one day of elections. If we can have Juneteenth as a holiday, folks, can't we have Election Day as a holiday?
Yeah.
Like, those are the things that we absolutely cannot stop.
Yeah. Well, hey, I was wondering if you could one more time give us the links to your organization, and I'd just like to get that, and then thank you very much for coming, Urson. We appreciate your patriotism most of all.
Thanks you, guys.
Thank you.
I would just say, you guys did get one of these sheets, and I know I didn't bring enough for everybody, but maybe take a photocopy of someone else's if they've got one, or I'll also make it available.
We'll put that on our Telegram.
I'll make it available digitally. On the one side is kind of the information that I went over today in summary. And on the back side, take a picture of this, or when you get it distributed, keep this in your phone gallery or somewhere accessible. This is how to vote. This is how to protect your rights. Mm-hmm. This is how to take your vote-by-mail ballot in unopened to seal the chain of custody and secure your unopened ballot to go in and vote on election day in person. Why is that important? Because then when they say you've already voted, you say, no, how is that possible? I would like to please file a report that my identity has been stolen. I want to know when my ballot was supposedly cast for me, where it was supposedly cast for me, and if it was voted by mail, I'd like to get a picture of the vote by mail ballot with my supposed signature on it, because you guys have a big problem on your hands. And so that's why taking your ballot unopened is so important. But if that happens, things for you to do, contact your sheriff. There's a QR code there. Put it over. It's the whole statewide sheriff's database. You've got to have the sheriff make a police report. You've got to protect your rights. And then the other one is a self-reporting system that we have at the Secretary of State. One of our strategies is around reporting signature verification and things. And again, because I'm recorded, I won't go into super detail. And in L.A. County, it's not going to really matter because you guys are all AI. But please keep this. Take a picture of it, or when he sends it to you, keep it with you. Share it with others. This is a great guide on how to vote in 2024.
Thank you, Urson. Appreciate it.
And then my website is www.patriotforceca.org. That's patriotforceca for California.org. And you can always email us at info@patriotforceca.org. So appreciate all your attention today, and I hope I was helpful and educational and taught everybody something. Thank you.
Thank you, Urson. Huh?
Okay. So shut it down.